B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Messinelli Show. Friday show. Yes, it's Friday, and it feels like summer out there. Summertime. What is that commercial? Summertime.
It's not coming to me at the moment.
Come on. You got to help me out with the summertime commercial.
I don't know about that commercial.
All right. Anyway, we're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. It is the Mike Messinelli Show. And, you know, we'll kind of wrap up the week. You just heard Brett Brown on with Anthony, and a lot of things he had to say that I have a reaction to. But first, let's start, because the feedback started coming in with me about our subject yesterday, about whether the players, based on what Blake Snell had to say, and for the record, Blake Snell is a white man. And whatever happened yesterday, what happened? I assumed that, you know, in watching him, he may have been Jason Kiddish, but no, he apparently is white. All right. So, but what he said was, you know, very strongly he said that no, I'm not going to play if it's not safe, and they're going to cheat me in my paycheck. Now, he has a right to say that, but already, like, I've gotten some feedback on this. Like, one guy asked me, Mike, I read that the Major League Baseball Players Association can vote to veto the Major League Baseball's offer to play this season. My question is, how do they have a right to veto a season? Doesn't the MLPA vote every year to start a season? Well, the reason they can is because they change the landscape, the owner. So any change to the collective bargaining agreement would have to be approved by the Major League Players Association. The owners just can't unilaterally throw a clause in there and say, okay, here's what we're going to do it now. Forget about your salary structure before. Now we're going to go revenue sharing and we're going to do that. Well, no, they would have to agree to that. And so if the players don't agree, they don't get paid, but they don't have to play either. Nobody has a gun to their head. So now another guy sent me a email where he said, this is going to blow up public opinion with these selfish players. In a world where our society is in shambles, how can a player be so selfish as an individual? It is beyond repulsive. And I go, well, they have a right not to get paid, basically. I mean, are they being selfish? Are they collecting money, not playing? Now, that would probably be selfish, but they're not. They're saying to you know, we don't feel safe, one, and two, you know, under these parameters where we get to be quarantined and playing a bubble, all this kind of stuff. I don't want to play that way. I got families, I got maybe my wife's pregnant, whatever. They're just a human being like everybody else. A human being has a right to go back to work or not, right? And these guys don't want to go back to work, huh? How are you going to perceive them is how you're going to perceive them. But certainly they have the freedom, like every American has, to make their own decision on that. And so Blake Snell did make that decision. And he said it rather strongly. So if you didn't hear what he had to say, he's a left-handed pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. And here's what he had to say about going back and playing under the new set of parameters that the owners are trying to set.
Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So
all right, that's good enough. Now, all right, so that's Blake Snell. And now I think that, you know, when he said, I don't make bleep, there are a lot of people going, dude, you made $1 million last year. Okay, in comparison to the other sports stars, that's not a lot of money, but still $1 million, right? Like, you can live off of that for a little while, more than somebody else who's making $35,000 can. We're trying to run our own business, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think he went a little too far there. But it exhibits the right that he has to say, I don't want to make myself unsafe. some people out there don't have a problem with that now. They think it's more important to get out there than to be safe. This guy thinks it's better to be safe. And he has that right. So I don't understand why people would look at this as players being selfish when, like, somebody in your neighborhood who would be afraid to go out, even though the restrictions are loose, and to start his little mom-and-pop shop, if he would be reluctant to go do that, is he being selfish? Well, he's thinking of the bigger picture, which is, I don't want to risk getting sick. And if I have to not get any money for a whatever 6-month period until things really open up, then I have that right to do so. So why do we look at a player any different? That's what I want to get today. And you may have a good reason. Now, the reason may be that, well, the players have a profession where they're out to entertain other people. In other words, you're looking at them like court jesters, right? They're there to entertain the king. Or you could look at it like, well, you know, they just happen to be in a profession that's fun and makes a lot of money, and I can't begrudge them that. I thought it's two sides to the coin on that. And we'll talk about that. Now, let's move over to Brett Brown. Brett was on with Anthony. And he said rather strongly that this is a team that is built for the playoffs. Here's the head coach of the Sixers.
This team, and something, and maybe I got myself in trouble, you know, just back when. It's like I said it and I'll say it again. Like, the team is built for the playoffs. And it doesn't, you know, lob out excuses of what can happen up until then. Like, none of us have taken our eye off the ball because of that comment and belief that I have. And there is an element of reality where how do you peak? You know, how do you land the plane? And I feel like we were doing this. There's a lot of possible, like, benefits, like the time frame off might have helped Ben Simmons, you know, get back to, you know, normality, get back to a greater level of health, or, you know, time off could have helped Joel. I still, in a perfect world, would want to coach a team for as long as you can to develop continuity and familiarity. We didn't get that this year, but I feel, to your original point, like, the team is designed for the playoffs.
All right. Listen, I don't expect him to say anything but positive things, right? But there's a difference between positivity and what reality is. When you say this team is built for the playoffs, you might have that as a grand design. Maybe. But also, isn't being built for the playoffs mean playing into that role as you approach the playoffs? Like, that's all a part of it, which has now been taken away. So am I supposed to believe that when they click the fingers and they go right into the playoffs after a couple games, that the Sixers will have enough continuity to exemplify this notion that they were built for the playoffs? Maybe they're different than other teams. Maybe the other teams stop progress. The Sixers somehow will gain this momentum coming into the playoffs. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I've disagreed with you about this all year.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they if the playoffs resume, they'll make the conference finals fairly easily.
Yeah, but play has stopped.
Yeah.
So where this built, you agree that they weren't exactly on a roll built for the playoffs. They were laboring in the sixth seed, so they needed more time together to be quote unquote built for the playoffs to work out all the kinks. So how is the world stop, and also when it resumes, they're ready for the playoffs?
Well, they only had played 19 of the 69 game or 68 games together as a unit. I believe that it puts everybody in equal playing field to start, and everybody will have basically a new camp, and they'll start again. This team started really well. I also think that Al Horford was bothered by some injuries that are cleared up, and obviously Ben Simmons back. I honestly do think this team would make the conference finals fairly easily before running into the Bucks and losing.
Okay.
That's what
I'm just challenging his statement there.
Yeah, his statement.
They're built for the playoffs would be a statement that you make as the games roll on, as we get into the playoffs. Since it stopped, that notion of being built for the playoffs stops with it, because there's not enough time to grow into that role.
Well, he also thinks that the style of play is different in the playoffs, and the style that was not working in the regular season that they played would work better. There's also no back-to-backs in the playoffs. Uh-huh. Therefore, they can log their guys heavier minutes.
Right.
I think it was more had to do with the style of play. Like, they played a bunch of games against the Raptors in the 90s last year. There were not many regular season games being played at the 90s last year.
I'm glad you're optimistic about it. I'm glad Brett's optimistic. me, you know, it takes a while for me to be convinced about blanket statements.
Right, and in the regular season, they did beat the Celtics 3 out of 4 times, and that would be the first round opponent.
Okay.
Including in their building.
All right. I don't think they beat the Celtics.
I know.
So we're on two different planes here.
Very.
All right. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Players, are they selfish if they don't play? Bryce Harper came out and said, Blake Snell manned up. Did Bryce Harper lose you as a Philadelphia fan by agreeing with Blake Snell's assessment? Other interesting question. And we'll hear from Bryce after this. The Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's a 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start today's Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moore & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoore.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. And here is Natalie Eganoff from afar.
Happy Friday, Mike.
Hello, Nat.
Hello. Today's poll has over 100 votes on it early. Has your opinion of Bryce Harper changed after agreeing with Blake Snell's comments to not play unless he's getting paid? 16% say yes, 84% say no.
Alrighty. Thank you very much. All right, so Bryce Harper was playing, what was the game he was playing?
Fortnite.
Oh, that's right. He's playing Fortnite, the very popular Fortnite, with Bryson Stott, who was a Phillies draft pick. He's a shortstop out of UNLV.
Yeah.
So they live close to each other in Las Vegas, so, but they're streaming it.
Yeah, they weren't together.
They're playing Fortnite on a stream. And so their voices are being recorded, right?
Yeah, they're streaming, and I think it's a... That's also how Snell was playing a game, and then somebody on his Twitch was asking him.
Twitch live stream.
And this is the same thing. So this is only like, it's less than 45 seconds, but this is the whole thing where Bryce actually asked about it, heard, and then just responded.
Yes.
So he
asked Stott, what did Snell say earlier on his stream?
Yeah.
All right, and here's what he had to say.
What did Snell say on his stream earlier, do you know?
That he said it's not worth it to play with pay cuts, and that he you guys are risking your lives getting COVID.
Yeah, I love Snell. That's my guy, bro.
He said if someone gets it, they got to live with that for the rest of their lives.
He ain't lying. He's right.
He's like, I need my. He's like, give me my money or I'm not playing.
Hey, bro, he's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Good for him. I love Snell, man. He has a beast too. One of the best lefties in the game, bro.
All right, so there you go, Bryce Harper. Saying that somebody's got to say, at least he manned up and said it. So that gives you the impression that Bryce Harper doesn't feel this obligation to play under these parameters.
Yeah, he's
probably
not.
A Philly.
Right.
And he's a very popular Philly.
Right.
So how do Philly fans take that?
Well, by social media. Now, we're going to take a lot of calls today, obviously, Mike, but social media sometimes can... it could give too much amplification of the outraged, but the outraged definitely were out there. And also other hosts on this very radio station were very upset for him saying it. because I don't know why. I don't know any logical reason, but they were very upset about why that he said it. Now, can I do math real fast?
Yeah,
so you
sure.
mentioned somebody who made $35,000
uh-huh.
a year, and that's tough, right?
Yeah.
So that means Snell, when he made $1 million, made 28.5 times what a person who makes $35,000. That's a lot difference.
Yeah.
But Snell, the owner of the team that Snell needs to take a pay cut for, he makes 800 times more than Snell. So why does the player who makes 28 and a half times have to do more than the person who makes 800 times more than the player makes?
Well, because our perception, and this is where you got to break through perception and think beyond on this. I don't know who the hosts were that were saying it, but the perception is that the players are there to perform for us. Now, that's our perception, but it's not in reality, as I try to explain. Those players aren't out there thinking that they have this obligation to go out and perform for you. They just don't see it that way. So they see it like we have been conditioned in sports to look at everything. And so my question to people is, how come that when a player is cut from a contract in football, or he's traded, or whatever happens to him, he's just like a piece of equipment? And we rationalize it by saying, well, it's just a business. But how come it's never a business when it comes to the player asserting his business rights? Like, you never hear that part of it. Like, it's never, we'd always look at it one way. Well, it's a business. Not too bad for the guy. And then when the guy says, okay, it is a business. So as a businessman, I don't feel like working to get sick, or I have this obligation to pay for less money for you. Like, he's looking at it as purely a businessman. Now, we as a consumer and as a fan look at that as selfish when we wouldn't apply that rationale to anybody else in a working field except the players, because we believe full-heartedly that they're there to perform for us. It's the reality. It might not make you feel good that's the case, but that's the case. They're not hired as minstrels, you know, as marionettes that we work, like, you know. It's just they're all individual businessmen.
Yeah, you're making an interesting point. And what's odd is that there used to be a lot of owners who were sort of like these self-made men who maybe made some, and it didn't used to cost over $1 billion to buy a team back in the day. But part of the reason why I sort of end up siding with the players in a way is because these owners take every bit as much as the players do. These owners, that inherited their money from their daddy, or like the Steinbrenners that run it now, they didn't build that team. Their father did all that work, and they just inherited. They did nothing. They existed. They were born. That's how they got that team. So then if it's a Yankees player who, even if they're the most arrogant jerk in the world, they had to work through playing the minor leagues and work their way up into the major leagues, I side with them, even if they're arrogant and terrible. And I acknowledge that many of them are arrogant and terrible, by the way, than the owner who inherits a team and then billions of dollars and then going to tell you, oh, no, these guys should take a pay cut so I could, like, why should the players help them?
See, I don't side with either side. Like, I don't look at, like, I'm not going to wave the flag for the players, or I'm not going to wave the flag for the owners. What I wave the flag for is reality, right? And the reality of the situation is we look at these guys playing professional sports, and we go, we look at them like it's recreation for them. Like, it's recreation. Like it would be recreation for us when we get the urge to go to the Y and play pickup hoops, right? But that's not really the case. So our perception that they want to play? I mean, isn't it fun for them to play? Yeah, it's fun for them to play. I get it. But being a professional means that you have now become a businessman also. And that's the reality. You might not like it. I might not like it. And I would love to have a perfect world, this utopian world, where these players go, oh, my God, we have an obligation to the people. But politicians don't even have an obligation to the people, and they're voting in office. All right, let's go to the phones. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, bro.
What's up, Greg? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing all right. I just had to throw that bro out there. Having listened to that recording of the pitcher,
uh-huh.
I wondered, do you know what's the typical split in a standard year between what the owners take and what goes to the players? Do you have any idea?
There isn't one, because everybody's salary is different and everybody's local revenue is different. So it's there's no calculation on it. This is what the owners want to put a calculation on it now.
Well, I mean, I guess you could come up with some sort of conglomerate percentage that might give you some guidance. You really can't.
Like, for instance, the Phillies payroll is close to, like, in the heyday, close to $200 million, right? But the Pittsburgh Pirates payroll will be $50 million. So there's different revenues based on all that. There's some revenue sharing, but there's also local market revenue that comes in. And local market revenue would be higher in Philadelphia than it would be in Pittsburgh.
Right. I gotcha. In the current plan, or at least the previous plan, the 50-50 plan, would that take regional differences into account, or would the teams just split it up equally? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's whatever their discretion is. So, like, the local revenue would not exist as much because of the lack of fans. So what they're saying, the owners are saying, okay, we don't have that local revenue to count on. So whatever revenues that we bring in, now we're going to set a parameter of a salary cap of sorts, and we're going to give you 50% of that revenue. But it's less than what they've already agreed to, which is that you'll get half of your salary because you're only going to play half the season. So the players will lose money on what they would have earned by the original plan, that we're going to pay you half of your salary.
I got you.
And that's what they're bitching about. Now, you and I would look at it and go, well, that's still substantial. But you got to look at the precedent that's being set here. The owners want to change the rules in mid-flight. They can always change the rules.
Yeah, it's true. You'd like to think that somehow the players could understand that it would be a one-time thing, but I guess, you know.
There's you think that these creepy owners will want to make this a one-time thing? They tried to break baseball back in 1994 by putting a salary cap in. You think these are earnest people, these owners?
Well, there'd have to be a poison pill in there somewhere that held their feet there.
Come on, man, these owners want to take advantage of these guys more than ever. It's not a benevolent society of people who own teams.
Yeah, but those are the guys that keep bidding up the salaries. You know, it's kind of crazy. They complain about how
why do they pay those salaries? Because they make the money. They're making the revenue that affords them to pay those kind of salaries. All of a sudden, they're going to see the reality. You know what? We're taking this is unfair labor. We have unfair labor with our players. We're going to give. Come on.
It's funny that now baseball books are always closed, by the way. Uh-huh. It's conveniently. Players, nobody get it. But last check, right after the strike, they thought the players were getting 58% of the revenue. Mm-hmm. And they feel like, according to what they can gather, it's dropped every year since. So the owners from the strike, back then, they're paying guys 58% mm-hmm. of the total pot. Basically, it's even though their revenues have gone up 17 straight years, mm-hmm. the players' cut has gone down every year since the strike from that 58% from what people, experts can gather, but they don't know for sure because the owners will not open the books and don't plan on opening the books for this.
All right, now let's take Bryce Harper as an example. All right, so the original plan is they're going to play 82 games and you get 50% of your salary. It's half the season practically. And they go, okay. So now, if Bryce is going to make $30 million this year, now he's down to 15. Now, with this 50-50 revenue sharing plan, because the speculative the money coming in, local revenue, ticket sale, parking, all of the concessions, all that stuff is still not decided, and you might not have that at all. So now that shrinks down the total revenue package. So at the end of the day, that $15 million that Bryce was supposed to make by the original agreement may have whittled down to half of that. And he may be making $7.5 million. Now, you look at that and go, well, what the hell, $7.5 million? But he has worked all his life to get into a bargaining position where he could sign a contract for that kind of money. He's an independent contract, just like all of us are, sort of. Baseball players, obviously, have more clout. So they're going, okay, to the average fan, that seems like a lot of money. That seems like enough money for me to go out there and play baseball in this new environment, this biodome environment. That's what we look at. We don't look at what they're thinking. They're thinking, we're in a biodome, and we're setting a precedent on revenue now that the owners in the next collective bargaining agreement may come back and say, you know what, we like that part. So now we're gonna lock you out until we get this plan. And that's what the Players Association is supposed to protect. That's what unions are supposed to protect. A union is supposed to protect against a decline in your wages and total worth. But it's hard for a fan to look at it that way. And I understand why.
I get it. But what's funny is we all know people who make thousands of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. Like we do. And a thousand is a million. So we can wrap our mind around that. But a billion's a thousand million. So think about the difference. What I don't understand is why we can't ever look at the owners that are making huge profits mm-hmm. all the time and think, maybe for 1 year, they should make some sacrifices. If they came out and said, we're going to make some sacrifices, the players are going to make some sacrifices, we'll put in writing and things like that, that'd be different. That's not what they ever do. So they're making a lot of money. These people are very wealthy, wealthy beyond most people can imagine. And yet we're supposed to just trust them. Just trust them.
Now, okay, let me take it down another path. I'm not trying to make a case for either side here. I'm just trying to get you to, like, the people have, and I thought this was going to happen, that fans were going to look at these players like, this is a selfish player, and I'm done with this sport, and when they come back, if they don't play now, you're going to lose me forever as a fan. All right, I mean, that's your prerogative. But, like, know that what's on both sides here. All right, so the Phillies, as a franchise, are probably worth about $2 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that means they're making money. When you put all the expenses together, Middleton is still making money in the ownership group. Now, if they lose money this year, but they're going to lack of local revenue, okay, they're going to lose money. Next year, what is the worth of the franchise going to be? It's going to go up another, you know, like, whatever.
We worth $2.1 billion.
It could be worth $2.1 billion.
Right.
So whatever they're losing this year in revenue becomes a tax write-off for them anyway. Meanwhile, their asset goes up. So when the owners say, well, we're going to come out and, you know, we're going to lose money and blah, 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 and the players have to share the thing, I go, you know, this is any money. The asset is going up and you can take a tax loss. Where's the money you're losing?
They're not.
I mean, I'm not a banker, but I can see fundamentally what's at stake here.
Right. And the worst case scenario, according to the commissioner yesterday, was they would lose $4 billion if there was no season at all. Mm-hmm. That's $133,330,000, et cetera, et cetera, for every team if you divided those losses evenly.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of money.
$133 million.
Each owner.
Tax write-off.
Right. Right. When you these people make so much money that if they did lose that $4 billion combined among all 30 of them, not one guy losing $4 billion, 30 guys mm-hmm. losing a total of $4 billion, and that's only if their numbers are true, which they're usually not. Should the players put their life on the line to save those guys money? And that means if they played half a season, they would be saving the owners $2 billion. That's the math that the commissioner.
Right.
So the players should take a pay cut to help, and they're already helping them recoup $2 billion worth of money.
Okay, so they're going to lose $133 million.
Each.
All right, so now let's do the calculation. If next year the Phillies are worth $2.1 or $2.2 billion, just subtract now. You take a tax loss and you subtract what you're going to lose against what you're going to gain in asset. What does it come out to?
There you go. You still came out ahead,
or even
right.
Yeah,
right. And me and none of the players in that scenario put their lives on the line because it seems like the players, some who didn't take it seriously early, the more they learn about this virus, are taking it pretty serious.
Yes.
It seems like a lot of them are taking it serious the more they learn about it. And that was the case with a lot of people. I also didn't think it was going to be as bad I listened because I listened to doctors, but I thought, okay, this isn't going to be that bad. It turns out to be much worse than I had imagined. I bet you that's the case for a lot of people. These people are allowed to also be afraid. Like, there's nothing wrong with a player being afraid.
Yes.
I don't think.
Yes. There's some perplexing questions that I have today. One of them is this question that we're talking about. And another is a question, and I'll get to it a little later, about the people that are protesting.
Oh.
And yesterday was a protest, I guess, in Pennsylvania. Up there,
yeah,
because
the president was out there.
Kanji Township.
Mm-hmm.
They were lining the streets there. And did you see the video of the...
Yes.
The video of the ugliness against the media?
Yes, I did see that.
And, there's something... I have a question about that.
Oh,
I'll get to it a little later. Because I'm totally confused by it.
I am too.
I'm not confused by the protest.
Oh,
I'm confused by the issue.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we'll try to flesh that out a little bit later. Zach is checking back in from Virginia. What's up, Philosophy?
What is up, guys?
What's going on, man?
I got no philosophy today, all right?
All right,
no
cool.
I was calling about Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, how excited I am to hopefully see that preseason game.
Is that called sarcastic philosophy?
No, that's seriously.
Are you serious about that?
I was lightheartedly. Yeah, it's not.
Do you think Jalen's going to want to outduel the guy he lost his job to?
No, not at all. I'm just excited to watch it.
Tua probably won't even play.
But listen, the baseball and the unfortunately, we live in capitalism. You know, everyone wants to put everyone on a pedestal, and they make. They commit the unforgivable crime of making a lot of money. Like, I'm with you, Mike. I see both sides. I don't think any amount of money is worth your life, regardless of what you do.
Well, I'm not even saying that. I don't have an opinion one way or the other on that. That's the player's opinion, right? We as the fan, the majority, I believe, think that they have an obligation to play for us. And I would like to just discuss that issue with people.
No, and I agree with you.
Because they might be barbaric. Right. I don't know.
I think it's barbaric. I think we're in ancient Rome, the movie 300.
It's all depending on what your view of it is. There are people out there that legitimately think that these guys only have a job because of them. To a large extent, that's right.
Absolutely.
So they're thinking along with that is, well, okay, because your job is because of us, then you have an obligation to play for us.
Right. And the only thing that people don't see in that situation is, like you said, this is not recreational for them. If it's recreational, you go be a professional sports athlete. You see how difficult it is to make millions of dollars being a professional sports athlete.
Yeah, I'm just asking them to look at the other side.
Right.
And if you still come to the conclusion that they have an obligation to play for us, then I go, okay.
I say okay, but at the same time, you say, well, then, you are putting, and I agree with you, you are putting your entertainment and your entitlement to be entertained before this person's potential life.
But it's easy to see why they would do that. Because they don't get a break. Fans don't get a break when you come to the ballpark. All you face are higher prices. It's going to cost you can't take families anymore to a sporting event. Even the Phillies have become unpriceable. You used to be able to go to a ball game, a lot of ball games, for cheap. Now you come, you got the parking hit right out of the chute. The tickets are high priced. Concessions are ridiculous. So somewhere inside you go, I'm putting out all this money to this owner for him to pay these kind of players this kind of money. What do I get out of it? Other than the final score. So now they're looking at it like, how about if you give me something back for all these years where I spent money I didn't really have to go to the ballpark and take my kids or whatever. How about you throw a little something in? A little something for the effort. And I can't argue against that point. I'm just saying, here's the other side that you're not seeing. You're only seeing the player obligation to you. What is the player obligation to himself? And if you can commingle that, both of those things, and come out and say, here's why I understand a player's point, but here's why they have an obligation to play for me. Then I'm all ears. I'm here. I'm not going to beat you down. Maybe Tyrone will, but I won't beat you down.
No, I won't. But I also want to ask if they think the players have an obligation, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. What's the owner's obligation? Because they come in there, and these people also pay for their stadiums mm-hmm. in large part. Even though these guys, most of them could afford to build a stadium themselves, or they could get their own funding, The taxpayers pay for the stadiums. The taxpayers do a lot for those owners. The owner, to me, also has an obligation. And what we do is we put it all on the player. And to me,
okay, what's the owner's obligation?
To me, the owner's obligation through a tough time like this is they cannot only ask the players to make sacrifices on deals that they made.
Okay, so they should pay full freight is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that they have to be able to negotiate in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what they can't do is put in a salary cap and make and have the players pretend like that's not an issue. That's going to be an issue. I already said the fairest way to do is I would drop it down to whatever number they want to drop it down with the promise that, one, open up the books. And when they start making money again, a balloon payment to the players.
Like the one I proposed for this company.
Yes. That, to me, would be fair. Then the players do take a sacrifice, but they know that whether they stay in the league or not, if they play this year, in 2021 or 2022, here's a big fat check.
So you're fostering a player's revenue sharing plan. The players are putting a revenue sharing. They're going to flip it on them.
They're going to flip it on, right. What owners, they're going to take care of you right now because I know you got the cup out and you're starving, owners. But in the back end, when stadiums got 45,000 people in them again, then you have to then do right and cut a check to every single player in the MLBPA who took care of you. And to me, that's completely fair. The players do sacrifice, but they know for a fact down the road, they'll be made whole. And then I'm good.
Okay.
Player sacrifice and the owner sacrifice.
All right. Let's kick this this thing in full gear today on the show, discussion-wise. And also, whether you have any reaction to Brett Brown saying, the team built for the playoffs, relax. We come back. Boom. We're going to roll. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fnatic. Yeah, I noticed I got my I got a golf shirt on today. It's in the 70s today, right? I took out the
80s now.
It's in the 80s?
Yeah.
I took out the USA Ryder Cup logo shirt, right?
Oh,
just last night, I was actually watching the 2012 Ryder Cup. It was on the Golf Channel. Now, I love the Ryder Cup.
It's fun.
And I had forgotten about what happened in that Ryder Cup. Watching it and I'm going, like, what? The Golf Channel would not show a Ryder Cup where Europe won, right? So I'm watching it and I'm going, all right. And then I remember, oh, wait a minute. This was the epic collapse Ryder Cup.
Was that when Justin Leonard was like,
No. That was 99. This was 2012. And they were in Medina outside of Chicago. And they had a 10-4 lead going into the final two matches of Saturday. 10-4, they were up. They only needed 14.5 points to win the Ryder Cup. So they allowed the Europeans to win the last two matches on Saturday night going into Sunday. So going into Sunday, they're up 10-6.
Wow.
And they proceed to lose the Ryder Cup to the Euros.
They
lost it.
And they showed
it. It was the epic meltdown. And I go, oh, this was the epic meltdown.
Well,
your boy came up small.
You talking about Tiger Woods?
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he didn't play well.
Steve Stricker was a mutt. Furyk was a mutt down the stretch.
Now, that era Tiger, you see, the Europeans came together like a team. They were rooting together. They were more of a unit. U.S. was a bunch of individuals. I know golf's an individual sport, but I feel like the Ryder Cup, that camaraderie matters.
You know what's really funny about this? Rory McIlroy. He's at his hotel. He doesn't remember that it's Central Time where he is.
Okay.
So he's still at the hotel, and somebody calls him, and says, you got 20 minutes to get to the course. Your tee time's in 20 minutes. He goes, oh, my God. So he calls the PGA, sends a trooper out there to the hotel, and they escort him. And he gets to the course with, like, 9 minutes to spare, no warm-up, goes on the course and just whips somebody's ass. But anyway, I bring up Rory because you can bet on that. That's coming up on Saturday, right? Or is that Sunday?
Sunday.
Is it Sunday?
Sunday, 2 o'clock. Sunday.
Now, explain to me how this is possible. It's the TaylorMade Driving Relief Charity event, which is a nice event. These guys are all TaylorMade players, I guess. So, but how do they pair up Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff?
I don't know. And now they're minus 175 favorites.
Who is? Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolff?
No.
Oh, the other ones?
Yeah.
This is too good to be true.
I know.
So I might bet Ricky and Matthew Wolff.
So my guess is TaylorMade wants to make commercials out of this, obviously. Golf is one of the few things that are open right now. Golf courses around the country, for the most part, are pretty much open nationwide. They're one of the few recreational things that are open. This is probably an opportunity to cut some good commercials. So if the favorites win with their TaylorMade stuff, boom, commercial. If the underdogs somehow win, also TaylorMade commercial. I think they win. Because think about it, if it's an upset.
Yeah, well, you could be right about that.
I think TaylorMade made the decision.
It seems to me that you would pair, I don't know who's the higher ranked, Dustin or Rory right now, but the higher ranked guy goes to Matthew Wolff.
I agree.
And then the next guy goes to Ricky.
And that seems fair. I don't know. Maybe at the same time, maybe those guys are buddies. Like, we don't know
why Ricky Fowler is buddies with Matthew Wolff.
Yeah, maybe
they
just
want to
cool.
play together.
Right, and they're like, we'll take you guys on. Apparently, it's everybody's going to play, but it's best ball at the end of each hole.
All right.
For the team, and then that'll be that.
All right, so reaction on everybody's favorite. This is the heart is a little weak today from the Philly fan. Bryce, their man, comes out and says, yeah, Blake Snell's right. He manned up and said it. In other words, he's saying, we don't have to play for you.
Now, I think Bryce, if he went to a press conference,
we'd say the right things.
But that's the one thing about this quarantine. Everybody's doing things to kill time.
Mm-hmm.
So he might play that game, but he might be with his kid because he had a game. He would have a game today or yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But instead, he's sitting at home. He does his workouts online, and then he's sitting there just talking. And I think it just slipped out. I don't think he meant to say it to the people.
Well, you think he'll come back with a tweet today to try to smooth it over with the fans?
Nope, because look at his agent. His agent's like probably saying, good, I need you to bite the bullet on this. Boris is like, I need you to bite the bullet.
He's very fan conscious about being a Philadelphia guy. He chose Philly.
He is. He also could spin it and say, you know what, until I can play in front of my guys in Philly, I don't want to play.
Natalie, what is your opinion of Bryce? You're a Bryce person.
Yeah.
So what did that say to you?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough for me because I feel them. And it's such a personal choice at this point in time. Like, there's nothing that transcends your health right now. So I'm not mad at them for kind of taking a stand to see what they can get out of it in the meantime.
Yeah. All right.
What?
Are you against Bryce or for him?
No, I'm for him.
You're for Bryce?
Yeah.
Wow. But you're a hardened Philly fan. You look at they should be playing for us.
But I can't do that right now in this time because what's happening right now in the world is transcending anything.
Okay.
So I'm not going to sit here and dictate what somebody else should do with their life.
Okay. That's fair. Let's go to Khalif in Upper Darby. What's up, Khalif?
You guys need to stop it with Bryce and they don't want. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus. It has to do with their pay. They don't want to play because of the cut in pay, and that's the reason why they don't want to play. It has nothing to do with safety or life or nothing.
Really,
like that.
I'm glad that you have their brain.
Well,
I didn't know that you were what'd you do? Implant yourself in them?
Well, I know Bryce left Washington, and then Washington won the championship, so I don't know how.
Well, what does that have to do with the issue? It has nothing to do with the issue. Don't take me down. Don't give me the okey-doke. Let's stick with the issue.
Well, that's what the Phillies got, with the okey-doke getting Bryce Harper, and then they didn't even replace him in the Nationals, and they still won.
We're all subject, all right? Okay, that's a baseball thing. We're not discussing that now. You made a statement that they don't care about the virus. Now, I want to know if you do. Are you going out there and working?
I'm out there today with the nice weather. I'm out there with no mask on, doing where I want to go.
Okay, ahead. Have you been restricted as far as your work? What do you do?
No, I sit at a desk, so it's not.
You sit at a desk. Are there people around you? Are you in fear that you're going to catch something?
No. But let me say,
are you protected from that?
No, let me say this.
Well, see, you're not answering my questions.
No, because I'm trying to get a couple points.
Yeah, but we got to have a conversation. I now got to know where you're coming from.
No, I think it's, I think that if, I really feel like if baseball could get a guarantee that next year that everything would be the same. Stadium's full. The conference is the same. Then they should just skip the season.
Okay. Wait. Now you're throwing me for a loop. Now you're saying you should skip the season, but you came on saying that the players' concern for safety is irrelevant, and now you're doing like a 180 on me.
No, I just think that every once in a while, you guys need to play the game. Let's talk sports without talking money. Okay. I just think
what sports are going on right now? There any sports going on?
I just think that it's crazy to, you know, LeBron came out and said he's not going to play without no fans. I just think it's crazy to want to see scrimmages on TV and scrimmages on basketball. Just skip the season and wait till next year, and maybe next year will be
Hey, Khalid, let me give you a little heads up. Next time you call, you gotta put your thoughts in a folder. Yeah, organize the thoughts, because you're all over the place.
No,
I don't even know what your point is.
There's no stands. You want to play sports with no fans?
All right. You changed it three different ways. You came on blaring that it's about the money for these players, and they don't care about the safety. All right, well, then you went, well, I think we should cancel the season because of the safety. And then you went, well, Bryce Harper, they won without him. Dude, I'm too old to have my head spun around. You know? Yeah. This is not good for my personal health.
Yeah, you got to look out. Everybody, right, everybody, Bryce and you and Snow, everybody, yeah, look out for your own health.
I'm losing brain cells as it is.
Can't have it. Won't have
610-632-0975. Back after this with the 3 o'clock hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.